With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and really pleased now to have Gloucester Fire Chief Eric Smith once again on the line. And Chief, first of all, thank you so much for joining us once again. I appreciate it. And we've got a couple of things that I want to ask you about today. Two recent fires that the Gloucester Fire Department has been involved in, and according to all accounts, your firefighters did tremendously quick work on both of those. So maybe you could give us a quick recap on the unusual circumstance of Gloucester City Hall, and then maybe on the other apartment fire that happened right around the corner from the headquarters.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me today. So the season has picked up. As you know, we've had a couple of brush fires already this year, and again, they lead back to people and some carelessness, and we encourage everybody to please don't. We still have pretty dry tinder in the woods. Like, the conditions aren't really bad and dry right now, right? We kind of recovered from that drought fairly well, not completely. We still need to move in the other direction and a little damper, a little more water. But, there's still just a lot of overgrowth, dead fall with trees and growth that's kind of choked itself out and created just a huge fire load in the woods. So, mm-hmm. Again, a lot of caution out there in your yards, around your properties. Create a defensible space, as it's called. Look it up on the web. It's not a simple thing to do. Sometimes you don't even have enough property to do it. That part of the threat you don't own, so you can't clear it and attend to it appropriately. But work with your neighbors and abutting properties to try to do the best you can. And so the city's taken some steps in that direction with city properties as well. So it's gonna be multiple years, if we can get this program up and running to kind of get things back to a better shape, for us to make fire access, mm-hmm. and so forth. So, but that's on that front, whole different topic. But yeah, the structure fire side of it is, we had a couple this past 7 days or so, like you said, with the one at City Hall. They came in about, I think it was about 11:30 at night, and it, came in as just a general alarm that that's obviously a very old building. It had a fire in it back in the 1800s, and there's pictures and history around on that one. That was an extensive fire that, they didn't have the advantage at that time of alarm systems. So even though the alarm system at City Hall is pretty old, and we're pushing real hard to get that updated, replaced, get sprinklers, rewire the building, to reduce that risk of that impact on government and the continuity of government. And this was a small fire in one room down in the basement, far left side as you face the tower, mm-hmm. if you will, from the firehouse, right there on Dale Ave. And it was a small fire, and we the alarm system worked as it should, came in as a general alarm, so we sent our typical response to a general non-specific alarm that's only coming from one zone with no calls, no real backup to say we have a working fire, right? There's no smoke or fire that's been witnessed or reported, no pull stations. It doesn't have multiple zones going off, so frequently, probably in the high 90s, those end up being false alarms. So, if we roll out the door with kind of the usual general human skepticism, if you will, about what that alarm may be, but we turn on every call the same way, get up, get moving quickly, efficiently, get your gear on, get on the truck, get down the road, and find out what's going on. And this time they pulled up and they went, oh, wow, it is actually on fire, right?
Yeah.
So, we don't get a lot of alarms like that don't come with some corroborating evidence or phone calls. So, that was the first curveball that the crews got thrown at them that night, that, wow, look at that. And an alarm system went off and it wasn't a fault. It's really burning. But they didn't miss a beat. They immediately stretched lines off that truck, got to that fire and put that thing down quickly and kept it to the room of origin. Which is, a big deal. And it already, it's just because it's what fire does. It goes up and out, right? And directly above the seat of that fire is some of the plumbing chases for the radiators in the floor above in the legal office. Mm-hmm. It already started to push through and set that carpet on fire, melt that carpet, and, char up the hole where the pipe goes through. So they caught it just at the right time, so to speak, to keep that fire as minimized as it could be. And then you still see the impacts that we've had in the cleanup efforts, right? I mean, you can't, you know, as soon as that smoke is in the building, it's going to be an extensive cleanup from that. We know that the products of combustion are unhealthy for all of us. So we're not going to put employees back in that environment until it's clean and safe and appropriate to do so. And the DPW was awesome. They jumped on top of it. I mean, you know, I don't even think we're out of the building. And Joe Lucido in the facilities side of things, you know, the operations manager over there, deputy director, he was all over getting cleanup crews and moving that direction to get that thing cleaned up, restored, and get City Hall back open as quickly as we can. So it's been a lot of tough work for them to do that. I mean, obviously the easy part of the job, honestly, was it was a pretty small fire, managed quickly by our crews. We're right around the corner, so that's an advantage. And so it went well. Mm-hmm. Very similar kind of circumstance with the fire around the corner. Really on Mason Street, you know, is where we first, ran to the fire, but it came in at the corner of Prospect and Mason. Turns out it's, you know, two separate but adjoined buildings. That's one owner owns now, and it's apartments in those two structures. And the fire was actually outside on the egress stairs. Looks very obvious, and the determination was careless disposal of smoking materials. And again, it's, you know, one of those things that that most fires are human error. You know, we get them to where they're electrical. We get them where we just can't figure out exactly what it was. But most of the time it's us. You know, we're the anomaly in a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Most things that we buy in the stores nowadays, if you buy reputably, are UL listed and are very safe as long as they're, you know, used appropriately, installed appropriately, and using good contractors to do wiring and plumbing and all that. You don't have a lot of fires that are caused by a problem with the structure itself or any of the wiring and so forth until it gets really old or it gets modified and it's not done properly. So, you know, those are some of the things that, you know, especially in a town of this age, that we do run into them more frequently than some towns. But most of our fires, they're kind of that human act, the human element in that, it's usually we do something that we probably should know that we might have known better or we did accidentally, and the next thing you know, it results in a fire. So that's unfortunately what occurred there. But another great stop to crews. Again, we're right around the corner, right on top of that fire. So it's, mm-hmm. you know, for City Hall and this particular fire, you know, the position and distance from the station is helpful, but not absolutely the reason that these fires were handled quickly. You know, had we been positioned on the other side of town downtown, you know, we're going to get there within relatively a short span of time. And the biggest piece is the crews themselves. Our mm-hmm. firefighters just do a phenomenal job. They, you know, they're getting geared up quickly. They're out the door quickly. They're, you know, not fooling around. They take it very seriously, as they should, and they respond appropriately, as they should, and they do the job well. So that's why we get good results in most of these incidents, especially when they're called in early. Mm-hmm. These incipient stage fires, these small fires, you know, they're ones that are really actually, they're pretty easy to put out. I mean, for professional firefighters with the equipment that we have, they're an easy job. They really are. That fire gets going and gets that whole first floor going, or that whole basement, or several sections of that basement in City Hall, and now it's running up the walls through pipe chases. You know, we're not a New York City. We're not a Boston fire. We don't have the ability to throw 10 engine companies and 4 ladder companies at one incident at nearly the same time, like metro departments do. We can get that kind of resources in here. It just takes time.
Well, something like that, that building chief, if it were to, and God forbid, as my wife says, if it were to get worse in that situation, tell me about the flammables of the building like City Hall, because it was built in the 1800s, and I don't know you know, what's flammable, what isn't.
I mean, so a lot of the interior, I mean, everybody's been in Kairos, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got a big wood floor, big wood balcony, a wide open space, and, you know, the things that a fire needs is fuel, heat, and oxygen, right? And once the fire gets going, it's generating its own heat. As long as it's got enough fuel, the flooring, the timbers, you know, all the things that are sitting in the room. I mean, that room isn't overloaded, you know, with furnishings and paper and all those types of things. It's a pretty wide open hall. But you get into the office spaces, and that's a different story.
Right.
You've got upholstered furniture and chairs and desks, mm-hmm. and lots of paperwork that makes government go round. You know, the bulk of it, fortunately, is in predominantly in steel cabinets, filing cabinets, but there's always paperwork that we have in the inbox, outbox type of thing. And so it's just, you know, it's inherent. It's just like, it's no different than in your home. You know, we'll walk around your home and look at all the things that are in your home. Even though a lot of things are made to be more fire retardant, if you get a fire of any size that builds up in a room, everything in that room will combust
mm-hmm.
when it gets to the right
yeah.
temperature.
That's pretty scary because, I think Lieutenant Tom Sayes come over here to help us one day and put in fire alarms, and he took note, or one of your guys did, took note of what we have in our basement, and everything he's saying, you know, well, this is an explosive, that's an explosive, this isn't, and it's like, oh my God, it's in my own, I didn't even know that. So, you know, that's good to know, and obviously that could have been a major disaster, so congratulations to you know, the Gloucester Fire Department on handling that so well. One final question, Chief, on the City Hall thing. You mentioned that an alarm came in. Does that mean that there's an alarm system directly from City Hall to the Fire Department?
No. So we don't monitor any fire alarms. There's very, well, there's probably more in New England that still get direct fire alarms into the fire departments than probably anywhere in the country, honestly, because this is where the technology was developed. You know, fire alarms, a lot of the systems, the manufacturers of that equipment are still here in this state.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, most alarm systems are monitored by private companies. They're typically UL listed.
Okay.
You know, that they meet the various standards to be what is called a central station alarm system, right? So an alarm monitoring company. So the technology that's out there, and the technology that, you know, we were monitoring some alarms throughout the city when I first got here, but it was so few private businesses and customers, and the rest were all city buildings, that the cost to maintain the system and the equipment and trying to keep up with how things need to operate, and quite frankly, we just couldn't meet the national standards on being a fire alarm monitoring service.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we monitored was a fire.
Okay.
They want the kind of the one-stop shop. They want their, you know, their alarm for their doors and their windows, right? The burglar safety
yeah.
side of it, along with video cameras, again, for the safety side of things
yep.
and documentation if something was to happen, whether it's fire, emergency, break-in, who knows, as well as that, you know, smoke and heat and CO detector monitoring. They want all of the above, and I don't blame them. And that is not a service that we provided or could provide. So, like, you know, like burglar alarms, I couldn't tell you when the city, if they ever did it, and or when they stopped. I know that I've been here almost 11 years come this July, and I've never heard about what the police department did for burglar alarms and when
okay.
they did it and when they didn't.
So it's
you know, that's moved away. You know, even a panic alarm, a hold up alarm in a bank, you'd think that, wow, you know, we want to get that right away. Those go to central station alarm systems, central
gotcha.
Station monitors.
All right.
And under national standards, they have a certain number of seconds in order to receive that alarm from their equipment and then contact us to tell us you have an incident of whatever type
mm-hmm.
at whatever address. And it's a pretty short window. And like in the schools, you know, the schools have to do fire drills, you know, four times a year, one within the first 3 days, all sorts of different testing parameters and requirements for different facilities. And we go out and we're involved in quite a few of them. And so we get the first hands-on, you know, look at that, because we'll go in and, okay, activate the alarm, see how long it takes till their people monitoring the alarm contact our dispatchers. And the systems work well. So,
okay.
You know, when we got out of the business, I didn't have any real concern or valve toss, if you will, you know, chest pain over we're not monitoring all these city buildings,
right,
and we're getting a delay. There is a slight delay. You can't say there's not, right? When the alarm doesn't come straight to the person dispatching and there's another person in the middle, there's a delay. There's no getting around that. But in these instances and with the sophistication, especially of newer alarm systems and the less frequent false alarms, and the sensitivity, it works really well.
So it's sort of it's the electronic version of 911. So that makes sense.